coming up next, we're going to, well, turn to sports. Never mind the Super Bowl. The Spartans won. They beat University of Michigan in basketball yesterday. And unfortunately, I was on the road and wasn't able to see the game. But current state Scott Pohl actually saw the game, and WKAR's Al Martin was there. And they both join us now. Hey, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Melissa?
Good. How are you?
Good, good, good. I hope you guys are staying warm and staying safe out in this mess outside. Oh, my goodness.
It's been interesting. Well, so what was it that pulled the Spartans over the top yesterday, Al?
Well, I tell you what. This game had such an ebb and flow that was really interesting. First off, I think you got to give a lot of credit to what John Beilein has been able to do with such a shorthanded roster in this Michigan team. I mean, there were some surprises throughout this game that many didn't expect, and guys stepped up that many people didn't expect either. But, you know, for Michigan State, in the end, that overtime period was, for lack of better terms, dominating. You know, you had the emergence of, course, Matt Costello after playing a full 40 minutes of really just kind of being non-existent. I mean, he brought an energy and a defensive attitude to Michigan State that really started as a rallying point and had a trickle-down effect to the rest of the team. You know, he had a few big blocks, didn't really allow any penetration down low, which led to a lot of fast break opportunities. And, you know, the play of Denzel Valentine also, I mean, he had a great overall game, you know, in double-digit in scoring, 7 assists. He was just unbelievable. So in the end, it was really Michigan State's, if you look at their entire schedule, they have played now 6 overtimes this entire season. And it's funny, talking to them in the locker room, they said that, you know, playing 6 overtimes is certainly starting to wear on them. But for most part, in those crunch time situations, they have found ways to close out games. And that's the key. And Michigan, on the contrast, I mean, they're competing. But when it comes to those late game situations, I mean, they're right there coming just short. So, but you got to give a lot of credit to their poise down the stretch for Michigan State.
You know, Al, that game maybe didn't need to go to overtime other than a lot of missed layups and free throws by Michigan State, especially in the last minute.
Right, exactly, Scott. I think you hit it right on the head right there. I mean, it's no shock now, watching this team throughout the entire year, that they are right now statistically the worst Big Ten free throw shooting team. And just so many easy opportunities. I mean, right at the basket. We've seen this now back-to-back games for them where just opportunities right in the paint, missed layups, just easy shots that should be going in, and they're not falling. And then you talk about the turnovers. They had a, you know, I thought, you know, looking at last game, that the turnovers wouldn't be a problem. But we started to see that rear its ugly head more so in the second half of yesterday's game. I mean, 12 turnovers compared to Michigan's 11. I mean, that doesn't really – those numbers can be deceiving because Michigan State had a lot of timely turnovers in crunch time situations where the game was very, very close and they needed to keep, you know, just take care of the ball. And again, you talk about those opportunities. I mean, Scott, it didn't need to go to overtime. When Valentine went to the line for that 1-1, I mean, he makes both of those free throws. It's a 4-point game.
Yep.
And then, you know, they kind of push it out of reach. It makes it a two-possession game, and they only have to play that extra 5 minutes. So, you know, and as Izzo talked about that, I mean, he's been really harping on just doing the little things right, because the little things become amplified in close games like yesterday.
Coach Izzo called it a game with about 4 different halves, which is a great turn of phrase, first of all. What do you think he meant by that?
I tell you what, Tom, he always comes up with a new pun every game, doesn't he? I tell you what he meant by that, which is pretty clever, is because, I mean, again, you know, you have over 20 lead changes throughout that entire game. I mean, 20 lead changes. Every time you thought
that's amazing,
Michigan State was going to salvage some sort of momentum and go on a run, Michigan comes back and Spike Albrick hits a big three. Or how about Muhammad Ali, Abdul Rahman? I mean, he had an unbelievable game, 18 points for him. 18 points actually for Spike and Muhammad Ali. I mean, unbelievable. And then Zach Irvin comes in with 11 points. I mean, you know, that next man up mentality for Michigan. And again, to go back about, you know, coaching of John Beilein, I mean, you have some of your superstar players out, like a Caris LeVert, you know, Derek Walton Jr., he's also out. And to have these guys step up, I mean, like, you know, like Spike and Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman, and then even Ricky Doyle, Aubrey Dawkins had a solid game. I mean, it's really, really remarkable. So what Tom meant by that is this game, you know, every time you thought that one team was going to run away. Then you saw a run by the other team. It was a classic rivalry game.
Brandon Dawson seems to be having one of those classic senior seasons at Michigan State. He had another double-double. He's really coming on, don't you think?
He certainly is. He certainly is. You know, I always say this team will go as far as Brandon Dawson takes them. If there's any consistent component for this team, for Michigan State, you know that Brandon Dawson, I mean, he's a walking double-double right now. And, you know, I have seen games, though, more so at the beginning of the year, where if Brandon Dawson, again, if he doesn't start off solid and get and is able to see that ball going to basket early, it usually doesn't end well for Brandon. He's a guy who thrives off of confidence. So if he gets going early, he's usually going to end good. If he does not get going early, he has a tendency to kind of go ghost. And, you know, but for Brandon, though, I mean, I tell you what, he's so athletic. He can jump out the gym. He can out-jump his opponent 9 out of 10 times, whoever that may be on any given night. And, you know, last night was no exception. I mean, 19 points, 10 rebounds for him. He is a man on the boards. And, you know, going 9 for 14 from the field, that's called efficient, you know. So If Brandon brings that type of energy throughout an entire game, every single night on the court, I mean, you know, sky's the limit, at least for MSU's bigs. He starts things for Michigan State's offense.
You know, when I saw his shooting stats, I was kind of surprised because all I remembered were the shots he missed.
Exactly. Because they were so easy, so blatant. I mean, again, Brandon Dawson is so athletic that he gets himself in positions where it's most likely an easy bucket. And then sometimes I think he becomes starstruck and kind of shocked that, man, oh my goodness, I'm right here. That he does not, you know, harness the fundamentals of gathering himself and going straight up. And he tries to put it up, you know, kind of awkwardly, and it goes off the rim. But, yeah, I mean, you know, those kind of shots are going to get amplified because they're so easy. You're not supposed to miss those. But again, you know, when you look at the numbers at the end of the day, Brandon Dawson is so consistent and very impressive.
One more question about the Spartans, and then we might hit you up for a little bit of Super Bowl commentary. What's next in the Big Ten? What are we looking at over the next few weeks?
Well, right now, if you look at it, Michigan State is in a position. Well, first off, I think that throughout this entire week of practice for the Spartans, Tom Izzo is really going to be harping on free throws. He, in his presser yesterday and throwing out a few questions for him, he does agree that it is a problem right now. And again, you know, I always say the little things become amplified. You know, as the season goes on, as the stakes become higher, those little things become big things. So for Michigan State right now, I mean, they move on to now play Illinois, a team that is kind of like in the middle of the pack of the Big Ten. And Michigan State is really sitting in a nice position now in the Big Ten. They're right now specifically second in the Big Ten. Wisconsin's first. So Michigan State will play Illinois. Then they have Northwestern coming up, which is a team at the bottom barrel of the Big Ten. Then they move on to play Ohio State, a team that's also second in the Big Ten. So right now, this is kind of a stretch that, you know, is mixed with some high perennial teams in the conference. With that Ohio State game, that's going to be a huge, huge game. But also some teams in the middle of the pack and near the bottom tier of the conference for Michigan State to experiment a little bit and get back on the right track in doing those little things. So this stretch right here is very, very key. And I could see, you know, especially if Michigan State beats Illinois and then beats Northwestern, you can kind of see maybe them rattling off two or three games here and really putting themselves in great position in conference play.
And a few days off this week, right? Don't they? I think they don't play till Saturday.
Yes, exactly. So you get this full week for Michigan State to practice and get in that practice gym and really fine-tune some things, Scott.
All right. Well, that's it'll be fun to watch them over the next little while, and hopefully the next time we talk, Al, it will be about a game that I got a chance to see, but luckily I usually
exactly.
watch them. I just couldn't yesterday. But
you're a busy woman, Melissa. We get it.
Well, driving in yesterday so you could spend the night here.
Exactly. I was swimming through the snowdrifts on 496, so I also missed the Super Bowl. Al, give us some impressions.
Oh, no. The Super Bowl? Okay. That may be a cardinal sin, Melissa.
I know. It's like, who does that, right? But you were there, so what were your impressions? Or at least there in
front of a TV
like
me.
Yes, well, I tell you what, I mean, everybody's talking about that last series for the Seahawks. I mean, you know, it's really interesting because, again, you got Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch, and to throw the ball in that situation, of course, it was a bad play call. And head coach Pete Carroll admitted afterwards, hey, you know, put it on my shoulders. I blew that call. I should have gave it to Marshawn Lynch and let him pound it up the middle because nobody was able to stop him. Nobody has been able to stop him all year. But again, you know, you got to give credit where credit is due. I think Tom Brady had a very, very solid game after, you know, looking at that game, you know, comparing and contrasting quarterbacks. I mean, Russell Wilson, early on in that game, I mean, he was really frustrated by that New England Patriots defense because they were able to get a lot of pressure on Russell. They sat in the QB spy on many, many series, making sure he did not, because he can burn you a lot with his feet. They made sure he didn't get those wide open 5 to 10 yard gains on the ground. They did a great job. Their corners did a great job of shutting down their receivers.
Yeah, Wilson didn't complete a pass until the second quarter.
Exactly, not until the second quarter. Exactly, and that was just an eye-popping stat. And you know, looking at Tom Brady though, I mean, Tom, you know, this thing about Tom Brady, he's so resilient. You know, he has such a short memory that if there's a bad play or a bad series, he just kind of just keeps looking forward. And he showed a lot of resiliency throughout that game, a lot of grit. And ideally, he wasn't throwing like 50-yard bombs on Seattle throughout that game. It was those 5 to 10 yard gains that really frustrated Seattle's defense. And you kind of saw them kind of unravel in many series.
What did you think of the performance of Seattle's offense, though? Because I didn't think they gave it to Lynch enough.
Right. No, I agree. You know, when you look at Seattle's offense, Scott, again, it thrives off of Russell Wilson being able to improvise on plays. And, you know, the thing about Russ, he's so great. When he's not in the pocket, I mean, it doesn't matter. You can get him outside of that pocket. His eyes stay down the field, and he can create. But the thing was, there was really nothing downfield, even when he got out the pocket. So if your passing game is not producing, it is not being efficient as you want it, why not give it to the workhorse in Marshawn Lynch? Because, again, I agree with you, Scott. I mean, there was no answer in sight for stopping that man. And there hasn't been all year. So why not feed beast mode, give him the football, and put pressure on that front four of New England to stop him because they couldn't. And, you know, it was a very entertaining game, though, because, you know, I knew it would be close. I actually predicted, 37-34 Seattle the other way because I just thought that Seattle's defense was going to have a better game than it did. But, again, the big storyline that's going to be talked about for quite some time now up until the start of next NFL season is, of course, that blown call or the no call, yep, not to give it to Lynch.
AL, we're going to have to let you go here, but
yeah,
we thank you
no
so
problem,
much.
Guys.
Thank you for joining us, current sports Al Martin and current state Scott Pohl, talking MSU basketball and the Super Bowl yesterday.